There are better ways which are white people come in here. There is obviously an upper leg, a lower leg, and an ankle like as an upper arm, a lower arm, a wrist. Nevertheless, the ankle is totally different from the wrist. Then there are all the bones of the wrist. I don't know how many there are. At least a dozen, I believe. I'm not sure. But around a dozen bones in the wrist, and in the ankle too. Extraordinary. Each bone quite different from the others. Each bone necessary. Each bone playing like a symphony with all of the others to provide that extraordinary ability of the hand to twist all the way around its wrist, for instance, or the foot all the way around its leg. Extraordinary. We take it for granted. But when we're paralyzed, or then we realize just what a gift we have in our wrists, for instance. The whole body, each part quite different from the other parts, and all of the parts are necessary to one another. Each, as they say, for instance, the proverb says the right hand washes the left and the left hand washes the right. The two hands are needed to one another, needed by one another. And then each different part needs another. I quoted this morning Shakespeare's Coriolanus, in which another part of the play, the Roman general is very angry with the people, and the people are very angry with the general, and the people are complaining that their leaders just do no work and benefit by all the hard work done by all of the people, the peasants, and the peasants are complaining, and the general turns around and he says, that's absurd. The stomach sits there and does no work, and the hands do all the work to feed the stomach. Are you going to say that because the hands feed the stomach, therefore the stomach is useless? If the stomach wasn't doing its work, the hands would have no strength. If the stomach wasn't digesting what the hands bring it to eat, then the hands would have no strength. The blood would have no strength to carry it from the stomach. The stomach needs the hands need the stomach. The people need the general needs the people. All parts of the mystical body need all other parts. And all parts of natural society need all other parts. Some people are airline pilots. Some people are carpenters. Some people are taxi drivers. Some people are professors. All of the various trades and professions are needed to make up the whole. Some people are old. Some people are young. In our society, it's a great foolishness that there is no use for old people. Old people are very valuable. It's a terrible, terrible mistake of our foolish society to glorify all this, to almost adore youth. Old age has experience. Old age has wisdom. Old age has time. Old age has an ability and an inclination to reflect. Old age has a lot to give to the generation immediately below and especially to the grandchildren. It's a great mistake to push old people to one side and then have everybody try to pretend that they're all still 25 years old. It's a great and foolish mistake. The world, society is not designed to be made up only of people 25 years old. Society is made by God. It's made to be composed of people 5, 15, 25, 35, 45, 55, 65, 75, 85, and 95. All of them have their uses. All of them are needed by one another. That's how people used to think, and that's a wise way of thinking. The old people, it's very difficult today, of course. The old people used to stay in the home. It was normal and natural. Today it's no longer normal and natural, that it's difficult to do it even if one wanted. But old people used to stay in the home, families in the heart of the roof, and the one roof used to be not just two generations, but three or even four. And the old people used to suffer, and that was a wise lesson for the little ones. The little ones and the youth are strong and healthy, they're not suffering. They think, like everybody thinks today, that they have a right to youth and strength and vigor. And if the doctor doesn't give it to them, then they'll sue the doctor. Great mistake. None of us has a right to youth. It's a passing gift. None of us has the right to health or strength. It's a gift of God that we can take away. None of us has the right to eternal beauty or good looks. And it's a mistake to artificially preserve those good looks. Artificially. Because God didn't design them to last forever, and for good reason. He didn't design them to last forever. And there are all kinds of pressures, of artificial pressure, All kinds of pressures come upon a marriage, for instance, when there are these false expectations against the way God designed things. So, we're all the society is made up of all of parts, as different as the eyes, the hands, the stomach, the knees, and that's to name only four parts amongst dozens of quite different parts in the human body. Quite different parts. They all need one another. And some apparently useless, and apparently, as St. Paul would say, some parts of the body are given less glory and less honor than others, but the parts that are less glorious and honorable are just as necessary as the others. So, in society, today, people make all kinds of, because of the principles of liberty and equality, people want to equal everything down. They want to level everything down. They want everybody to be playing the same part. Everybody is to pretend they're 25 years old. Everybody is to still be good looking. Everybody is to be occupying a brain job rather than nobody wants to be doing the dirty jobs or the menial jobs or the labor jobs. Everybody, if he's going to be just a porter on the airport, you can't call him a porter, you have to call him a skycat. He's just shoving luggage around, but you have to pretend that he's some kind of captain, so you call him a skycat. If somebody is removing refuse, if he's what used to be called a dustman, well, they can't call him a dustman today. The man who drives the trash truck will have to be called a chief superintendent refuse removal officer. And if you call him anything less than a chief superintendent officer, it's the name of democracy. Because we're all equal, and although he's got what is in itself a fairly low job, seen in certain ways, you've got to pretend that he's doing a job as big and important as, I don't know, the computer program or whatever. Foolishness. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with being a dustman. Wisdom of the Catholic Church, presenting us the example of the great, great St. Joseph. Happy, content, and humble to be doing a carpenter's job, but doing it extremely well. The love and glory of God, that's quite enough. And Joseph doing that ordinary work very, very well, the love of God, with a great charity, is more than the other saints doing the greatest of things. It's said, it's actually true. The Mother of God, sweeping out of Rome for the love of God, achieved more because of the charity with which she did that perfectly ordinary action. The love of God with which she did the most ordinary of actions meant that that action was more in God's eyes than the greatest martyrdom suffered by the most heroic of martyrs. Strange, but all the theologians say exactly the same thing. It's not what we do, but the spirit with which we do it. In any case, society is obviously needs some who will do the thinking and a lot who will do the manual labor. Society needs a few generals and it needs many of the people. And the general needs the people just as much as the people need the general. That's the, in today's way of thinking, the democratic way of thinking, the rights of man way of thinking, equality and the democracy way of thinking. Everybody's got to be level and everybody's got to be equal. This is a disaster. It destroys society and it obviously also destroys the family, for instance. When the family is such that the father himself does not want to exercise authority, the father himself gets rid of his authority. He puts on sneakers and jeans and crawls around town like an adolescent tomcat because he doesn't want to be respected, because he doesn't want to take responsibility, he does not want to lead. You haven't got a family when you've got a man like that in the head. Then where there's no family, there's no society. Ask yourself, wherever there is a society, there's bound to be a head. People still take sport seriously. Even in democracy, they still take sport seriously. I ask you, is there any sporting team which does not have a captain? And is there any sporting team which does not need that captain to exercise his authority as captain for the team to be able to win? Have you ever heard of a football team without a captain, or without a captain exercising authority, that was able to win its games? On the sports field, it is as obvious as everywhere else that wherever you get men to come together, they need a head. And therefore, at all levels of society, as the people need a general, all members of any society need a head. And the drama today is that we do not have a head. The President of the United States behaves like an alley cat. He dresses up in sneakers and jeans, or boxer shorts, then parades up and down in front of the photographers, dressed like a common actor, undressed, just like every other athlete undressed. It's utterly unworthy for the President of the United States. He wants to do it because he does not want to be. Today they no longer want to be an old-fashioned kind of president. They are wrong. The country needs a president, and a president they can look up to, who talks and who behaves and who dresses like somebody who deserves respect and can earn that respect, can exercise his authority to earn that respect. So, just as the family will fall to pieces without a head, and that's what's happening to families today. The man refuses to be the head of the woman. The husband refuses to exercise leadership, responsibility at the head of the family. Being the head of the family is not just a question of giving orders. And it's absolutely not just a question of being a tyrant or behaving like a tyrant. To be the head of a family means taking responsibility. It means duties before it means rights. It means responsibility before it means privileges. That's the old-fashioned way of looking at it, and it's the right way of looking at it. And the modern world, as usual, is wrong from A to Z. In all its stupidity, practically everything it thinks, practically everything it does, it is wrong. Which is why the world is in such a mess. The family requires that the head of the family exercises, take his responsibility, that he stand and take the heat, that the man take the heat, that he protect and look after and cherish the mother of his children. That's the old man, that's the right way. Of course, then the man, the father, the family, the head, has the privilege of giving orders, yes. But put it the other way around. He has the duty of leading the souls of his family to heaven. Look at it that way. It's not just so much a question of throwing his weight around and making everybody feel that he's the boss. It's a question because he is the man. He has the superior reason, as his wife has the superior heart. There's no question about that. And the superior intuition. She has the heart and the intuition. He has the mind and the reason. It's the reason that's meant to guide, and it's the man that's meant to guide. The man whose duty and responsibility is to lead. In the family, not all are equal. The wife is not equal to the husband. The children are not equal to the parents. In marriages today, perhaps some of you come across couples that are in difficulties. Remember the ancient golden rule, the ancient simple rule, which I always say in confession, because it's in scripture, it's what St. Paul says. And here you've got this little natural family, which is structured just like the great supernatural family of the church. Everybody is different, and everybody needs to play a different part, and the different parts together put together a whole, a happy and harmonious whole. Remember this, always to say to couples in difficulties. Because today, under this propaganda of equality and liberty and democracy and the rights of man, all this stupidity and foolishness, all the decent people who want to do what's right have lost the very ABC of marriage, of the family. At the heart of the family is husband and wife, of course, and from them come the children. But the ABC of husband and wife is in Scripture, it's in St. Paul. Husbands, cherish your wives. Husbands, look after your wives. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. When you know people out in the big bad world and their marriage is getting in trouble, tell the man to love his wife. Tell the man first. The man must lead. It's the man's responsibility. If you're a man, take hold of the man. Drop it for the woman, go for the woman. But if you're a man, talk to the man. Get the young man to love his wife. Tell him that that's what makes marriages work. A teaspoonful of affection and she's good for another 200 miles. That's the way they're built. And they don't mind you saying that because it's so true. And they don't mind you saying that because if they could get a teaspoonful of affection out of it, they'd be perfectly happy. Wives, obey your husband. Says before, not easy. Husbands, cherish your wives. Wives, obey your husbands. What a man needs is not so much affection. Women are creatures of the heart. They absolutely need affection. They need love and affection. They need to be loved. They need to give love. It's a very deep need of woman to give love and to receive love. They are creatures that operate on love. Man doesn't so much operate on love. Man needs respect. Men are differently built from women. Complementarily built. This is what the poor modern world is doing its best to wipe out. The bitter enemies of our Lord, the Freemasons are doing everything they can, by Hollywood for instance, and other such things, to destroy all common sense and truth about human nature, the way God built it. And therefore the Freemasons are doing everything to make people forget how different men and women are, how differently they're built. And therefore, because the Freemasons have got a free hand in our wicked society, poor people are forgetting how different the men and women are built. And when they forget, and when they pretend that men and women are just the same, men aren't respected, women aren't loved, and the result is a disaster. Universal disaster. The men become women, and the women become second-rate men. The women try to imitate the men. They can't do. Well, they can do an imitation, but they can't succeed at it. And they haven't even got any decent men worth imitating that are left. It's extraordinary. The men are unmanned, and the women are unwomaned. And the women lose their womanliness, and the men lose their manliness. It's extraordinary. There's nothing like that in the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church, the men are man, and the women, God loves them, are woman. God bless the Catholic women. God bless every single one that wears a dress or a skirt, not only on Sunday, but every day of the year. Because God knows that takes courage. But that's the example, that's Catholic. The woman being woman and looking womanly and behaving woman. Of course, if she was to get into trouble, if she was to invite trouble, well then she must act differently. But where it doesn't invite trouble, wherever it doesn't invite trouble, wherever it's going to remind people what a woman is meant to be, how it's an immense gift to the poor people around us who otherwise are being completely misled by this, in German, Gleichschaltung, this equivalation, that's making equivalent, this making equivalent of man and woman, which is completely wrong in society as a whole. Of course, they're parents and children. Children are not the equal of the parents. The children are under the parents. They are inferior to the parents. When the children, how can that be just? Answer, when those children become parents in their turn, then they will have children under them. There's nothing unjust about children being under the parents. It's perfectly just. It's unequal, it's perfectly just. Children need parents. They don't need a mother who looks like and behaves like an older sister. They need a mother, especially the girls. When the girls reach a certain age, they do not need competition from their mother. They need motherliness, wisdom, guidance, gentleness from their mother, and strength as well. Boys need a father. Boys do not need, teenagers do not need their father to behave like a teenager, just like them. They need a father who will give them an example, who is strong enough, capable of taking them behind the woodshed. It's very good for teenage boys to be taken by the woodshed. They're still perfectly capable of needing it if they haven't been brought up properly in their early years. And it's sometimes the best thing that can happen to you. I remember a little while ago over in New York, a 16-year-old girl who was given a curfew by her dad. And she broke the curfew. And he spanked her, 16 years old. He said, she's 16 going on 7. This teenage girl, it was the best thing that could happen, and I'm glad for her, but she was still spanked by her daddy. The modern world is so stupid. In Denmark, they just passed a law forbidding parents to spank children. Can you imagine anything more stupid? But of course, the drama is that in our crazy society today, it's true that parents no longer know how to use authority wisely. Parents no longer know how to spank wisely, and therefore it can turn into physical abuse, which the children, alas, do can be protected from. And therefore, the state has to try to step in with child abuse prevention or child abuse protection, and the state may even have to provide a telephone number to the children to protect themselves from their parents. It's tragic. It's that. And then the children use that number, of course they're the monkeys, they use that number to stop themselves getting a spanking. The whole thing, there's no answer, there's no substitute for the families God needs. And Catholics, with no hope from the outside world, with all kinds of other hope from the outside world, Catholics must lean on their church and lean on the wisdom of the church and lean on what Catholics, follow what Catholics have always done in order to put back God's wisdom into the structure of their family. And it's easier said than done. It's a wisdom they won't get much from the world around them. There's still some of that wisdom in some grandparents today, which is why grandparents today are liable to have to pick up the tag. And grandparents are liable to have to look after the children because they missed the middle generation. As far as parenting goes, today is often sharp. It's tragic. St. Paul says, the mystical body of Christ is made up of a whole lot of different gifts, different kinds of Catholics. We all just make, put together, we make one seminary or one parish or one diocese or one church. A parish is meant to be a family. The seminary here, it's not possible for there to be a normal parish, but the parish, if it is normal, is meant to be a family. It is a kind of family. And the priest is meant to exercise authority in that family. A diocese is a family. And the bishop obviously is meant to exercise authority in his diocese. Not the National Conference of Bishops, but the personal bishop. The personal bishop who knows his sheep, who knows his priests, who knows his parishioners in his diocese. And who exercises a paternal authority coming from God. Scripture tells us all authority comes from God. God wants authority. God is behind authority. God gives authority because he built human beings in such a way that they're not all meant to be equal. It is obvious that all of us have all kinds of different gifts. I cannot cook to save my life. If I could never eat because none of us ever cooked, I would perish. I have other things that I can do. I said yesterday I can talk, but I said I can't cook. Each of us has things he can do, things he can't do. And we all just need one another. We are not all rugged individualists needing to ride off on our own into the sunset. That's false. We do not stand on our own according to God's word. We stand with one another, not independence, but interdependence is God's word. It's how God designed the family. The parents need the children. The children give happiness to the parents at best. Obviously, not in all moments, but through the children, the parents have had some happiness in life and hope and courage. The children actually need the parents to guide them through through the mind of your body. Otherwise, your head, your mind is going to get run out of the water for eternity. We all need one another. And we all need authority. Authority must be exercised in society wisely. It must be exercised in the family. The terrible thing is today that authority having been lost, the habit of authority, the exercise of authority, the idea of authority having been lost, people don't know how to use it even if they understand that they ought to use it. They don't know how to use it. They've lost the art. Parents, for instance. Commanding goes together with obeying. St. Paul says, as the man is the head of the woman, so Christ is the head of the man. The women today refuse to obey the men because, essentially because, deep down, essentially because, the men refuse to obey Christ. If the men will obey, they're much more easy for their children and wives to obey. In other words, the art of commanding, at the very heart of commanding, is to know oneself how to obey. And if the mother sees that her husband readily obeys those who he ought to obey, starting with God, she will find it much easier to obey him. Obeying and commanding go together. The model of authority, the model of obedience, and the commanding in the scriptures is the centurion. You may remember the centurion's child was sick, and our Lord says, I will come and look after him. The centurion says, Lord, do not trouble. You're a man in authority. I understand authority. I'm a Roman centurion. I'm an officer in the great Roman army. I know how authority works. And he did. He said, if I want somebody to do something, I say, go, he goes. I say, to another, come, he comes. The centurion is used to giving orders and orders that are obeyed. And precisely for that reason, the centurion himself undoubtedly obeys his superiors. Therefore, the centurion says to the master, the divine master, just say one word because I know that it will be done, because that's how authority works, and I know that you have divine authority. Just say one word, master, and you need not trouble coming to my room. And our Lord is lost in admiration, not lost. Our Lord is full of admiration for this centurion. That is how God meant. This is a pagan, this century. But he understands how God designed society, and how God meant society, how God meant the Roman Empire, and how God meant the great American nation to work. And that is by authority, and not by a series of Democrats behaving as though they have no authority, or as though they ought to have no authority. That's completely false. My dear friends, as St. Paul would say, we are limbs, or we are members all one of another. We should all respect in one another the variety of gifts that we all differently have. We should turn to one another for the use or the profit we gain from those gifts that our neighbor has, that our neighbors have, in varying forms. And when it comes to the exercise of authority, if we are in a position of authority, either simply as parents, a mother has authority over her children. If there's an authority that comes to us, we must turn to God to remind us, to teach us again by prayer and through inspiration of how authority is meant to work. It's not, there are sad cases of people who rightly understand once more that they do have the authority, that they ought to exercise it, and then they try to exercise it, and then it comes over as a tyrannical performance, and it doesn't achieve its purpose, because it simply raises the hackles of whoever has been exercised over. It's a sad case, but the principle is correct. The practice has still got to be picked up. The practice has got to be relearned, and it may not be relearned from one day to the next. Rome is not built in a day. The Roman Church is not built in a day. A Roman Catholic is not built in a day. Especially not in a democracy, in a Protestant liberal democracy like England or the United States, or a revolutionary democracy like France, where there is so much designed to wear away and undermine these Catholic ways of thinking. So, my dear friends, pray for St. Paul, perhaps, because he obviously understood the principle. Grace it. great intercessor with God, that Prince St. Paul remind us of how we are members of one another, how what a diverse variety of gifts we all have, how we all need one another, how we need authority. The problem is not too much government today, although there may be too much government, the problem is not government today. So listen, to some people talking in the United States today, all government ought to be abolished. That's not true, and it can never be true. Government today is becoming tyrannical, yes. Why is it becoming tyrannical? Because the people are under government. If all of the people believe there should be no government, they're going to behave like wild animals. In order to control these wild animals and stop complete anarchy, you're going to have more and more police. The huge increase in the number of police today, the police force of work, is simply a function of the otherwise ungovernability of the people. The ungovernability of the people because they do not have any belief or understanding of the need of authority in society. The problem is wise government. The problem is not the very government itself. Remember this in truth. The Roman Empire exercised government well, which is why the peoples were happy to be under the Roman Empire, which is why they were not continually revolting against the Roman Empire. They were happy with the benefits of the Roman Empire because it was wise government. For many years it was wise government in the United States. The problem is not government, the problem is governments and government who none of them any longer understand authority. This dear and great nation needs Catholics. It needs wise Catholics who understand their faith, Catholics, believing Catholics, who love their faith, and who can put back into circulation the right example and the right understanding of authority, so that that principal difference and principal complementarity that is needed in society between rulers and rule can wisely be put back into circulation. My dear friends, let us pray St. Paul for our country. Let us pray St. Paul for our families. Let us pray St. Paul for ourselves, that we understand these great and wise truths instituted by God, both on the level of nature and on the level of supernature, especially in the church, and that we ourselves, give an example to all those around us, are putting these great truths into practice. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.